You're listening to Opus Talks, where you'll be in on conversations with insiders in the energy, chemicals, and environmental commodities markets. Guests share insights into the latest trends and innovations, industry challenges, and much more. Let's dive into the conversations that explore where the energy economy is headed, right here on Opus Talks.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our podcast today, where we're talking about how the Latin America steel industry is faring amid U.S. tariffs, high steel imports, particularly from China, and geopolitical uncertainties. I'm very thrilled today to have two fantastic speakers joining me. We have Ezequiel Tavanelli, who is executive director at the Latin America Steel Association. I won't try to pronounce that in Spanish. And also, we have Ranjana von Ventland, who is one of my colleagues here at McCloskey by Opus, which is part of the Dow Jones organization. Ranjana focuses on steel and steel raw materials globally on the business development side. I think we will jump straight in, but welcome to you both and appreciate you joining us, particularly Ezequiel.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to me to be here with you. So I will be glad to try to answer your questions.
Let's jump straight in. I think this is a very dynamic time, a very volatile time, I think, globally, not just in the commodity space, but obviously, you know, it's been, a week where everybody's been focused on the Middle East and everything that's been happening there. And just to be clear, we're recording on the 24th of June. We obviously have, we had a steel market that was facing quite a few issues even before tariffs. There have been anti-dumping investigations, really oversupply. And I think globally there is a steelmaking capacity oversupply. It's great. We talk a lot about China when we talk about steel, and I think it's, that's obviously for very good reasons. There's a lot of steel produced there and also a lot of steel consumed there. And increasingly, China's been exporting coal. But it's great today to focus on another large region for steel production, which is Latin America. Ezequiel, the first thing I'd like to ask you about is just how the steel industry in kind of the key Latin American steelmaking countries, let's say Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, in particular. How are they coping with this new U.S. tariff environment?
James, that's a good question. It's still too early to measure the full impact across the region, but as an example, in Mexico, according to Canacero, the local chamber, steel chamber, it's important to highlight that there's a trade surplus with the United States, and they maintain a steel trade for around $1 billion in finished products. And that surplus, I believe it's going to be increased in 2025 because Mexican exports are dropping. And I believe that in April and May alone, the export from Mexico to America have decreased like 50%. I think in Alacero, we are very concerned about the United States government increasing tariff everywhere, mainly to our region, under the Section 232, they have put a 50% tariff. And I believe that is going to be against our value chain. We believe fairly that Latin America can be the best source for America for finished products to be a partner with us to have an integrated value chain. And I believe that Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, we have the industrial capacity, we have the industrial technology also, and the competitiveness of our labor to be a truth good replacement from the Southeast Asian value chain, and this value chain should be developed in Latin America.
Ranjana, you talk to steelmakers, I think, probably as much as anybody in our company. What are you hearing when you talk to the ones particularly in Latin America?
Yeah, James, so the sentiment on the ground is, it's very, at the moment, most of the steel mills, they're very nervous because just like earlier in the month, what we saw that U.S. President, he has increased the steel import tariff to 50% on major key steel producing countries in Latin America. So last year, as if we look at the data, we see that Brazil alone, it exported steel plates around 3.4 million tons to US, right? And overall imports of steel plates, I think in US were around like close to 6 million tons. So it's not a good news for the Brazilian steel industry, right? And at this moment, the Brazilian Steel Association, like Ezequiel's organization, Alacero, they have been trying to have negotiations with the U.S. government on whether these import tariffs, it could be reduced. Like U.K. has done a special deal as we saw recently. So most of them, they are trying to cut a deal somewhere or the other with the U.S., hold some negotiations. That's the situation with most of the steel mills and the organizations. There's another side of the story as well. Look, as a large steel mill, you do have operations across the Americas, right? Some of the steel mills who have operations within the US, they are focusing more on their US operations and they're quite happy about it, right? So quite frankly, they're going to invest in their US operations and increase output over there. So we see those kind of shifts also happening. James, in your... you have looked at the impact of tariffs quite closely in our report, right? And we have talked about it in tariff talks. So what is the latest there? I mean, we've seen the recent Iran-Israel attacks and ceasefire and no ceasefire. I mean, what's the latest over there?
I tell you what, it's hard to write a paper right now. We just did one on the recent, what's been happening in the Middle East. And I think it took us about 18 hours to write it, and the world was pretty different between when we started and when we finished. So it's very much a moving target, but we've just done a couple of those on the Middle East conflict. Obviously, the impacts are primarily, or the risks are crude oil and things like LNG, liquefied natural gas. And neither of those are that closely related to steel, but crude touches everything, right? Cost of diesel, to fuel trucks and transportation and so forth. So obviously there's a risk premium being added on crude. I think since there seemed that, that situation, knock on wood, has been easing, it seems that, the price of crude obviously has come down and so we would expect there probably won't be large ongoing issues, but obviously it's still a big uncertainty and still has the potential to turn for the worst. Yeah, we have done a lot on tariffs in general. I think one of the big takeaways, I think really we're waiting for these deals. And actually our next edition of Tariff Talk will be talking about, I think Trump had talked about 90 deals in 90 days. And I think we only have information on that one UK one. So there's obviously a lot to come. Of course, the administration's focus has been elsewhere for the last week and a half, but I would expect that we will get new trade deals announced. And our expectation, based on what the administration has said, is that if you take more US content, be it oil or be it iPhones or whatever, you're going to get a lower tariff rate. So I think we will start to see some deals where other countries are taking more US product in exchange for lower tariff rates. But Ezequiel, what do you think? I mean, we just mentioned some high-level comments about the Middle East. Do you see an impact on Latin America from what's been going on between Israel and Iran and the United States?
Well, global conflicts, as you know, James, are in general affecting global trade, which are going also to affect the global steel production in some manner, in some ways. But our main focus in Latin America right now and our main issue is centered on China and Southeast Asia. This is a different factor. This is because they have a huge amount of overcapacity and Latin America has been severely impacted by this problem. Our steel consumption in Latin America is stagnant for the last years. Our consumption is around 73, 74, 75 million tons. Last year, we achieved 73.1 million tons. That's 1% less than the year before. But the problem here is that the importations from mainly China and Southeast Asia are increasing every year, and the total importations have reached a record level last year of 39%. And I can say that for the first months of the year, that share is going a bit up. It's going to be around 40, 41% right now. It's a record for us. And we are very, very preoccupied about that, because that's happens in a moment that our value chain is also very affected. Our business is going to be a huge advantage in Argentina and Brazil and Mexico for our industry, for decarbonization. We have a good path of investment, a very important one. And that path is going to be like it's going to be like a very heavy way to go if we continue with this kind of imports. And I think Latin America has the opportunity and have the quality to be one of the key leaders of this decarbonization path. We are one of the best regions to produce steel. We have a lot of energy, most of it from renewable resources. Two-thirds of our resources come from natural resources. Also, we have the access to raw materials, and our region also has the access to energy, and also to the talent of our people. So I think Latin America has a huge opportunity, and we have to take the measures. Every single country has to address correctly the problem we are facing from the huge amount of importation, mainly from China and Southeast Asia.
I'd love to come back to you. You mentioned a little bit there around decarbonizing the steel industry in Latin America, and I'd love to come back to that. But let's talk first. I just want to follow up a little bit on, kind of anti-dumping measures and so forth. Ranjana and I visited Brazil last year for the ASO Brazil conference, their big steel conference in, I think it's in August. And we chatted to all of the mills then. The problem that was presented to us was obviously cheap imports hurt the Brazilian steel industry and the steel industries for all the other Latin American countries. But at the same time, consumers like cheap steel. And we had the same feedback from steelmakers in India that they weren't certain if there would be additional protectionist measures or if the government would sort of let it go as long as it wasn't really hurting the domestic industry. Do you think we will see an increase in protectionism against and it's not just Chinese steel, I mean other countries, Southeast Asia. Like you mentioned, but do you think we will see more measures brought in, or do you think that, times are tough, economies are struggling, and consumers need low cost, and therefore perhaps imports will be allowed for a while? What are your thoughts there?
I think, first of all, that we should talk not about protectionism. We should talk about defending our value chains. There are jobs between that. And I think the manufacturing industry in every single country is a key factor for developing societies, mainly middle-class societies. I think that's going to be the strategy for the next couple of years to understand which countries, which regions are going to keep their manufacturing capacity and processes between each other and not facing a huge devastation of that manufacturing capacity. And I think still right now, because of the tariff we are seeing in the United States, are in the front in the newspapers fronts. But anyway, I think every single industry is going to face this process. And I think this kind of defense should be implemented as soon as possible. And it's mainly because in the steel case, because of the overcapacity we are facing in our industry. In 2024, this overcapacity has reached around 6 million tons. And for 2027, this number is projected to rise to 7 million to 700 million tons, or 721 million tons for to be exactly. That's a huge amount. For you to take a good picture, the global production right now, it's around 1,800 million tons. So we are just dealing with 700 million tons extra capacity over that number. So it's a huge amount. And around one third of that overcapacity just alone in China, it's going to be just alone in China, and Southeast Asia also. It's going to be a problem that's going to be very focused on that region. And I think that surplus is going to be a huge pressure for every single economy that doesn't defend it in the proper way. And again, we are seeing this in the front papers news because of the tariffs that are being implemented in America. But anyway, we know right now that the amount of measures against China and Southeast Asia countries for anti-dumping measures, for example, has been growing year after year. But in the case of Latin America, we have seen that these measures couldn't be achieved as in the amount and the quantity and the time that they should. We, but as Latin American countries, I believe we should take these measures as quick as possible in the full capacity and full amount of the measure, because we are dealing right now with a huge amount of overcapacity, and I think that's going to hurt us in a significant, in a very important way.
I'm from Australia, and I remember as a kid all of the steel mills closing, because at the time there was an awful lot of cheap Japanese steel, and you know, now there are only a handful of mills left in Australia that certainly relative to the late 70s and early 80s when there was a reasonably strong steel industry. So yeah, I think there are warnings around the world. How do you think this oversupply gets resolved? I mean, most commodities you might have 10% more capacity than is really needed, but for steel, it's what, a quarter, 25% more capacity. So some of it needs to close. I know there's a general expectation that Chinese steel production will close. But how do you think this gets resolved? Is it, will it be in China or India or elsewhere?
First of all, I think one of the discussions we should put in over the table is the reduction in carbon emissions. I think our region, for example, Latin America, is one of the less emission region from in worldwide measure. For example, Latin America, it's around, it couples for 3% of the steel output, and we are just responsible for less than 2% of the global emissions. So I believe there are regions, for example, China, that produces a lot more emissions than our region. So I think we should face which are the regions that are affecting our industries and our climate in the worst position. So we should take measures over that. But on the other hand, we also have to understand which are the regions that are more capable of making the steel. Right now, Latin America is producing around 52 million tons per year of laminated steel, and around 56 million of crude steel. But most of this steel are, it's steel that are with very low emissions, like around 25-28% less emissions than, for example, Chinese steel. And I believe this is going to be a huge path for the future, which are the regions that produce more efficient and with less emissions in our, in case of the steel industry. And another thing we should also get inside is that Latin America also has infrastructure to make the steels of the grade that the industry and the future industry are asking for, high strength steel, low gauge steel, ultra low carbon and ultra high deep embossing steel. So I think we should also take a picture that our region is capable of making a huge improvement in our industry. But as I said before, we should be on a level play field. And I think Latin America has to take the measures to defend the whole industry, because we are not facing just a huge problems in steel, but we are also facing problems in our whole value chain. And we are talking about more than 1,400,000 jobs that are the total jobs from our industry in Latin America. So we have to take a note also inside that the steel is going to be a important issue for each of our governments, but also the steel value chain. No? We are just showing, for example, that Latin America has been losing ground in industrial production. We lost around an average of 4% points in GDP of our industrial GDP in Latin America in the last 25 years. And for example, in that period, Latin America was exporting more than half of manufactured products. And right now, raw materials are around the 54% of all the whole exportation for Latin America. So we are just exporting more raw materials, more soybean, more iron ore than manufactured goods. So we should be exporting more cars, more washing machines, etc. And that's going to be the for me, the huge important task that the American governments have for the near future.
Yeah, I just want to add to your point, Ezekiel, over here. Like when you talk about the growth in Latin America, I mean, what we have seen is that steel output in the first 6 months of the year in Brazil particularly, it has been steady, or it has risen by 1% year on year. So it's almost like 14 million tons. And if you look at US output also in the first 5 months of the year, sorry, I said 6 months, it's January to May. In US also from January to May, it's around 33.4 million tons, which is steady year on year. Now, the whole thing is that and it's my observation that in Brazil, I think the demand for steel is actually likely to increase. And there are a few factors. The economic growth is there. I know the economy is not growing at like 5% or 6%, but still there is a growth of 2% or 3% year on year. And then there is a huge push by the Brazilian government to rebuild the infrastructure in the country in a lot of places, in metropolitan areas, and get a railway system across the country. They are also building large number of data centers, AI data centers. So I think to a certain extent, like you come from Argentina, do you think the same thing is being followed in Argentina? I know that Argentina went through a huge, huge financial crisis. So what do you think will fuel the domestic growth for steel over there?
Well, I hope, first of all, that the steel consumed in Latin America, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Colombia, are the steel that are produced in our countries, because we are facing that the production in our countries are like every single year around the same number, the stagnant figure, but the imports are growing steadily year after year. First of all, I would like our governments to look over it. In the case of Argentina is recovering, and it has a huge path for investments in infrastructure in the future. I hope it can achieve the financial status needed to have those investments realized in Argentina. So we can have them in our region, and we can also be producing steel locally for those infrastructure investments.
Right, because I remember last year there were steel mills who had actually closed their blast furnaces because of low demand, and they were not producing anything for quite a few months. So you see the situation improving for this year and next year, right?
I hope it would improve. Our figures right now are showing that the production are steadily, and what is it's coming in a huge amount are the importation figures. Right now, for example, Brazil has been impacted by Chinese importation in a very big way. For example, in 2019, the Chinese importations were around 700,000 tons, and last year ended in 3.4 million tons. So that's more than a 370% of increase in just 5 years. I think we are coupling here with a huge problem of overcapacity and exportations that are in an unfair trade, as we can say, and we should take the measures over that. We should defend our economies and our value chains from that.
And I think just as we had started to see steel prices fall and there was something of an expectation that Chinese steel production would fall with it, we saw metallurgical coal and iron ore fall as well, and suddenly margins in China were okay. But I think margins in China have been poor or negative for much of the last few years, and yet exports have been sustained. So it's a challenging problem. But what can a group like Alcero do? Is it mostly sort of lobbying governments to try to change rules, or trying to get steelmakers to work together, or what activities do you guys do to try to fix those issues?
Well, first of all, as you correctly say, James, we are trying to make our whole value chain to work together. We are showing the latest numbers and latest figures of what's happening to have the best information that's available. For example, we have made with OECD in a few weeks ago a presentation for our region for what's happening with the overcapacity, what's happening with mainly China and Southeast Asia subsidies. These steel that are coming to our region, it has huge amount of subsidies. They show us the very intricate and huge path of subsidies that Chinese government implement for this industry. And OECD has shown that the average amount of subsidies that China implemented in steel, it's 10 times any kind of subsidies from any developed country. So we are just dealing with a huge amount of subsidies, and that's what we have been calling for, a level play field. We cannot compete companies with a country. That's what's happening right now in the case of Latin America. And I think this is the main issue for our association, to show what's happening and to help our governments to make the quickest and best measures they can make.
I think I just had one last question for you. You mentioned green steel, or I think you mentioned decarbonizing the steel industry earlier. Could you talk us through some of the activities in that regard in Latin America? I mean, if there have been investments in projects, if governments are trying to subsidize development of, you know, what is sometimes called green steel. And I think maybe also talk about one of the challenges there, which is that today, at least, green steel is a higher cost of production, and trying to bring that in when you have a large amount of steel being sold very cheaply is a bit of a challenge. But can you talk? You know, maybe talk to us about how you see, say, the next 10 years or 15 years evolving, and do you think we'll see things like hydrogen DRI development or just expansion of electric arc steel making and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think hydrogen may be in the past, but we are not very near of it. Electric furnaces are going to be in the next step with some kind of gas adoption in the process. But anyway, I would like to address that the global greenhouse emissions that I think we should take a good measure of the steel industry over that. The steel industry just account for around 8 or 9% of the global emission of CO2. Just less than 10%. We are not the industry of the biggest impact over global greenhouse gas emissions. And Latin America, particularly or in that whole industry figure, just account for 2.8% of the sector emissions. So particularly for Latin America, we are in a very good position right now. As I said before, I think Latin America is very well positioned to be one key producer of low greenhouse gas emissions region. Our industry is investing every single year. It's adopting measures to reduce their carbon footprint. We are investing in more energy efficient processes. We are increasing our recycling scrap metal processes. We are capturing gases generated during the production, and of course enabling the reuse. For example, for carbonated beverages, we are using steel also byproducts in road construction and cement manufacturing, for example. And we are incorporating year after year a lot of clean energy or wind energy resources that our mainly producers of the region are incorporating in their processes. So I think that America is in a very well positioned point here. Between regions, where we are right now one of the lowest greenhouse gas emissions. So I think we are in a good shape.
And I think it's worth noting there that Latin America probably percentage-wise has more hydroelectric power generation than any other region in the world. And that, of course, means its electric grid is one of the cleanest in the world. So it, in some ways, it's one of the perfect places to develop clean electric arc steelmaking,
exactly the double. If we have the double in hydroelectric, solar, and wind than the average of the whole world. The average is around 30%, and we are over 60% of hydro, solar, and wind resources.
Yeah, plus huge iron ore reserves. So yeah, certainly makes sense to us. Ezekiel, it's been a pleasure to have you. I think we're going to wrap here. Ranjana, great to have you co-hosting, of course.
Thanks, James. I think as a final comment, I would just say that been covering this region for a number of years. And I think what I feel is that the steel industry does have a lot of potential over here, but there are challenges as far as cheap Chinese imports are concerned. And I think like an important organization like Alacero, I think they can really steer the governments towards changing their thinking and increasing restrictions on imports so that the domestic industry can grow. And I think we can see some of that happening. Like this year, Brazil has kept its quotas in place, and I think they may increase it, but more efforts needs to be done. So, I think important organizations like Alacero are moving in the right direction over here.
And it's great to have Alacero supporting us as well. Roger and I will be in Brazil and Peru in a few weeks. So very much look forward to seeing the latest on the steel industry. Thanks again, Ezekiel. Everybody, you can see all the great work that Alacero is doing at alacero.org. Definitely encourage listeners to go and have a look there.
We hope you've enjoyed today's insider conversation on Opus Talks. Join us next time for a deep dive into another industry insider's world. You can find more Opus Talks episodes at opusnet.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.